turn in the scriptures now together to our scripture reading from Psalm 119, verses 49 through 52 of Psalm 119. And our focus here this afternoon will be on these four verses, verse 49 through 52, but for our scripture reading, we'll read the whole stanza, verse 49 through 56. And now hear the word of God. Remember the word to your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. This is my comfort and my affliction, for your word has given me life. The proud have me in great derision, yet I do not turn aside from your law. I remembered your judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Indignation has taken hold of me because of the wicked who forsake your law. Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and I keep your law. This has become mine, because I kept your precepts. Our faith is a very historical faith. It is built upon the ancient promises of God in the covenant of grace, which goes back all the way to the beginning of our world. God's faithfulness to his own word has been proven throughout history. The reality and the certainty of his covenant promises have withstood the long test of time. Therefore, memory is a very important aspect of our faith. Scripture exhorts us all the time to remember the words and the works of God in the past, so that we might have assurance in the present and hope for the future. And God himself, for his part, promises to remember his promises. And so because our faith is a historical faith, so deeply rooted in what God has done in the past and what God has promised to his people from ancient times, because of this, memory plays a big part in sustaining and reassuring our faith in the present. Now, this particular theme is ripe to be emphasized in the seventh stanza of Psalm 119, and it is so for this reason. All of the verses in this stanza begin with the letter Zion in the Hebrew alphabet, and so also does the verb to remember in Hebrew. It is the verb zakar that begins with the letter Zion. And so the verb to remember, zakar, and the idea of remembrance ends up popping up several times in this stanza. It does in verse 49, remember the word to your servant. It does in verse 52, I remembered your judgments of old. And it does in verse 55, I remember your name in the night. And so that becomes really the theme of this stanza, the theme of remembrance. Now, today in our brief time, we will limit our focus to verses 49 and 52. And when we do so, we realize that there's a wonderful balance between these two verses within the one theme of remembrance, because in verse 49, the psalmist asks God to remember his word in verse 49. And then in verse 52, the psalmist talks about his own commitment to remember God's word. So today we're going to talk about those two things, about the role of God's memory and the role of our memory within the covenant relationship, and what it means for God to remember his word and what it means for us to remember his word, and how the memory of both parties within the covenant of grace are very important to the maintenance of that covenant. So let's begin at verse 52, verse 49, where the psalmist says, "Remember the word to your servant, upon which you have caused me to hope." Now, you'll notice I made comments earlier in the call to worship how God does not forget anything. He can not remember things, but he certainly does not forget. And the psalmist doesn't say, "Don't forget your word to your servant," because he already knows that God does not forget anything, right? So you don't have to remind God so that he doesn't forget. That's not the purpose of this. God does not forget anything. It is not within his nature. As it is with us, we certainly can and quite often do forget things. We do it all the time. God cannot forget. So when the psalmist prays for God to remember his word, as is the case in several different psalms, this one, Psalm 25, and several other cases as well, the petition is for God to act upon the basis of his historical covenant promises. That's what the petition is all about. By praying for God to act as he always has, upon the basis of his word and his promises, that's what it means for God to remember. For God to remember is for him to act upon the promise that he has made. Now, there are wonderful examples of this in Scripture. In fact, the word remember, and that verb I mentioned, zakar in Hebrew, to remember, is used so many times of God in Scripture in a covenant context, describing God acting upon the basis of his promises, okay? Let's look at a few examples of those. Turn to Genesis 8. And if you want to simply listen as I read, that's fine. Or you can turn to Genesis 8. I just want to point out a few of these examples. The great flood happens in Genesis 7. The water is flooded. Noah's on the ark. All of humanity is destroyed in that one great act of God's justice. And Genesis 8:1 begins by saying, "Then God remembered Noah and every living thing, and all the animals that were with them in the ark." God didn't forget for a time and then remember. He then decided to act upon the promise that he made to Noah. Look at the next chapter, chapter 9, verse 14 and 15. And this is when God promises to not flood the earth again and to put his rainbow in the cloud as a pledge of that promise. Genesis 9, 14 and 15. "It shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature." It's not that God would forget unless he gave himself a reminder. But God is pleased by the signs of the covenant to be prompted to act upon the basis of his promises. And that's what it means for God to remember, that he pledges to act upon the basis of his promise. Turn over to one more example, Exodus chapter 2. And we could really do this all afternoon. There are so many examples of God remembering things in the Bible. Exodus 2, verse 24. This is just before the great deliverance out of the land of Egypt. Exodus 2, 24. "So God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God acknowledged them." He remembered, and he acted upon the basis of his promise. So when God remembers, he fulfills his promise. When God remembers, he keeps his covenant. When God remembers, he acts graciously toward his people. Praise God that he cannot forget anything, because our salvation depends upon God's perfect, gracious memory. Now, so many of the great prayers of the Bible are centered on this one petition for God to remember his covenant, for him to remember his promises. And again, we could do this exercise for quite a bit. There's many wonderful prayers of the Bible, petitions in which the petitioner, the prayer, simply asks God to remember his promises. Let me just take you to a couple of them. Exodus 32. This is the midst of the golden calf incident. God's people had made this golden calf. They had engaged in idolatry. God is angry at them. He's about to destroy them. Moses steps in to intercede for the people. And what does he say in verse 13 of Exodus 32? Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven. And then, once Moses calls upon God to remember his covenant with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, verse 14 says, so the Lord relented from the harm which he said he would do to his people. It was that prayer of Moses, that intercession, remember your covenant, that turned away God's fierce anger. Another great example, and the last one we'll turn to, is in the magnificent prayer in Nehemiah chapter 1. This prayer of Nehemiah for God's mercy, for him to visit his people again, to rebuild Jerusalem, the walls, what a wonderful prayer. I wish we could read the whole thing and talk about the whole thing. I just want to focus your attention on the main petition that Nehemiah makes in the midst of this prayer in verse 8. And his main petition is in verse 8, remember, I pray, the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though some of you were cast out to the furthest parts of heavens, yet I will gather them from there and bring them to the place which I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. He petitions God to remember his own word and act upon the basis of his own promise. And so when Moses and Nehemiah and the psalmist in Psalm 119 all call upon God to remember his word, they know that he doesn't forget. They know that he will graciously act on the basis of his own promises as he always has. And that's why they call upon him to remember his word. Now, friends, this one petition should fill our prayers. Remember. Remember, our salvation utterly depends on our sovereign God remembering his covenant. As long as he remembers, our salvation is sure. And so no matter what struggles you may face in life, no matter what anxieties and uncertainties may arise in your heart, we may stumble and fall, and we may forget. In fact, we very often do. We're very often guilty of forgetting God's blessings, forgetting his mercies, forgetting his promises. But it is enough. It is more than enough. If only God would remember his word, then we have hope. This is our hope, and it is a sure hope, because God does not forget. I'm sure you've had in life the experience of having to depend on someone else's memory for something important to happen, right? You tell someone, XYZ needs to be done, please do it. Don't forget to do this. I need you to do this, and if you don't do this, something bad's going to happen. So please remember, don't forget. And the person says, I'll remember, I won't forget. And they turn around and walk away, and you think to yourself, they're going to forget, right? They're going to forget. And they do forget. We all forget. I forget way too many things. But where men will often fail us, God will never, ever fail us. Our salvation depends on his sovereign, gracious, infallible memory of his promises. And we know that he will never forget. He cannot forget them. That is why this one little petition says it all. Really, this one little petition says everything. If you call upon God to remember his promises, you are well prayed for. That's why Nehemiah could fit everything he needed to say to God into one petition, into one word. And that one petition said everything. Remember. If God would just remember his promises to us, as we know he surely will, then we have nothing to fear. And praying this prayer reminds us that our salvation depends entirely upon God's faithfulness to his promises, which is never in doubt. Now, let's turn our attention to the second aspect of memory that the psalmist brings up in these verses, and that is the place of our memory in the life of faith. Verse 52 of Psalm 119. I remembered your judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Now, again, we could point to numerous places in the Old Testament, and indeed this psalm, too, where the psalmist talks about remembering the Word of God, how he's done it in the past, how he proposes to do it in the moment, and how he commits himself to remember it in the future. Now, when the psalmist talks about remembering God's Word, he's not just talking about recollection. He's not just talking about the opposite of forgetting. He is talking about an act of faith. Remembrance is an act of faith. In the Bible, remembering God's Word means two distinct, intertwined things. It means to believe in His Word, and it means to obey His Word. To believe and to obey. That's what the faithful act of remembrance entails. Now, first of all, let's think about how to remember as an act of faith means to believe or to trust. Think about this verse, Psalm 22, verse 27. All ends of earth will remember and turn to the Lord. It's an interesting verse. All ends of earth will remember and turn to the Lord. Remember what? It doesn't say. But in this psalm, in this verse, remember is used for a synonym to the word believe. What the psalmist is saying, the ends of the earth will believe and turn to the Lord. But the word remember is used. Remember means to believe. To remember the Lord is to believe in the Lord. To remember His Word is to believe in His Word. Think about this New Testament example. 2 Timothy 2, verse 8. Paul says something interesting. He says, remember Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. You are called upon to remember Jesus Christ. Does that mean simply recollect him, call him to mind, don't forget him? No, that means to believe in him. When you remember the Lord Jesus Christ, you believe in him. And how about at the Lord's table? When we come to this sacrament this afternoon, we are reminded that Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. When you do something in remembrance of Christ, you do it in faith in Christ. Right? Because when we come to the table, we make a proclamation of his death and our belief and our trust in him. That's what it means to remember him. So in Psalm 119, verse 15, when the psalmist says, I remember your word, he means he believes it. He trusts in it. Now, secondly, the word remember, as it's often used in the Bible, as an act of faith, also often means to keep or to obey. And it's used in this way all over the Old Testament. And maybe one of the more familiar examples would be from the fourth commandment. It's a commandment to remember something, isn't it? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That doesn't mean you're just not supposed to forget. There's 7 days in the week, and yeah, I remember the Sabbath day. It comes before this day and that day, and it's on my calendar. I remember it. That's not what it means. Because the commandment goes on to explain what it means. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You remember it by keeping it, right? And there's many other examples of this too. Many instances in the prophets, in the prophetic books, especially in Hosea and Ezekiel, Israel is said to have forgotten God or forgotten his word. Now, what does that mean? They slipped their minds? Just forgot? No, that's not what it means. It means that they disobeyed him. It means that they disobeyed his word. They failed to keep it. So in Psalm 119, verse 15, when the psalmist talks about remembering, verse 52, remembering God's judgments. He means he's going to keep them. He's going to obey them. So to remember God's word only starts with recollection. We have to be in the word. We have to know the word. We have to lay it up in our hearts and minds so that we can recall the word. That's certainly part of it. But to remember it, truly remember the word of the Lord in the way that the psalmist is talking about, to remember it as an act of faith means that we believe it to be true with all of our hearts, and we truly seek to obey it by the grace of God. That's what it means to remember God's word. If our commitment is anything less, then it can be rightly said that we have forgotten God's word. Because to forget it is to not simply let it slip from your mind. It means to distrust it or to disobey it. But our calling is to remember it, to remember God's word with a trustful obedience. Now, if this is the case, we must confess that there have been many times in our lives when we have forgotten God's word. We have willingly entertained doubts about it, and we have willfully disobeyed it. But friends, our great hope and our great assurance is that God has remembered his word. He has remembered his promise to provide us a Savior. In fact, in Luke chapter 1, in the prophecy of Zechariah, just before the birth of Jesus, in Luke chapter 1, verse 72, Zechariah in his prophecy said that God was, quote, performing the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. You see, Jesus Christ came because God remembered. God remembered his covenant promise. And now, because God has remembered his word and provided us with a Savior, our response of faith must also be to remember his word, to believe it, and to obey it. To remember God's word, then, ultimately, is to believe in and obey the incarnate word, Jesus Christ. It is he, the Lord Jesus, who embodies God's remembrance of the covenant. He is living, breathing proof that God has remembered. God has remembered. Jesus Christ is the promise that God has made to us, and he has remembered his word. Let us then be resolved to remember God's word, you and I. Let us remember God's word, to believe it and to obey it. And we see from our psalm that the end result will be that God will add comfort to his grace. Look what verse 52 says. I remembered your judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. So, what do we conclude? We conclude that when God remembers his word, we are saved. When we remember his word, we are comforted. Now, today, we come to the Lord's table together. And as we do, you and I engage in a sacred act of remembrance. On the one hand, as we come to this table, God himself is reminded of his promise to save his people on the basis of the shed blood and broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And on the other hand, we come to this table in the calling to do this in remembrance of Christ, not just recollecting him, but we remember him by trusting in him, by being resolved to believe in and obey him. That is how we remember the Lord Jesus Christ. When we come to the Lord's table, we are assured that God has remembered his word, and we are reminded of our calling to do the same, to remember his word. Let's pray. Father, we pray.